సహ నౌ భునక్తు సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. ఓం సమస్త జన కళ్యాణే నిరతం కరుణామయం నమామి చిన్మయం దేవం సద్గురుం బ్రహ్మ విద్వరం సద్గురుం బ్రహ్మ విద్వరం. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం
వ్యాసేన
గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయనీ అంబ త్వామనుసందధామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీ యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్ర మరుతః స్తున్వంతి దివ్యైస్తవై వేదైః సాంగపదక్రమోపనిషదైః గాయంతి యం సామగాః ధ్యానవస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినః యస్యాంతం న విదుత్సురా సురగణాః దేవాయ తస్మై నమః దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. ఓం శ్రీ గణేశాయ నమః. ఓం శ్రీ సరస్వత్యై నమః. ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. బిఫోర్ వి స్టార్ట్, I'd like to address one subject that was brought up last week, and Arun is here, he's here. And often this question comes, and I also, when I started this spiritual study, this question used to come in my mind, what was asked last time, then say people like Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King, they have done so much service for the world, Karma Yoga. And we praise the path of enlightenment, of spiritual knowledge. And what is the relationship of Karma Yoga to this path of enlightenment? So I'll spend a few minutes addressing. I think that's a very important subject, and I'm glad Lata brought it up last week. So Karma Yoga is wonderful. Serving the world is great. You know, what Mahatma Gandhi ji did, what Martin Luther King did, all the other great. But karma has its limitations. First of all, karma ends. Karma Yoga, no matter how great it is, and it's very, gives a lot of inspiration, but when this person leaves the body, the action ends. Mahatma Gandhi ji did a lot for service. But after Mahatma Gandhi ji is gone, how many more Gandhi ji's have been created in India? None. Martin Luther King did a lot. How many Martin Luther Kings have we created in the United States? None. So the thing is that when this karma ends, there is no continuation. It ends with the when this person drops the body. Yes, the person continues to inspire, the work may continue for a while, but it does not create any long-term effect as far as the direct effect upon the world. Yes, they will be an inspiration. Mahatma Gandhi ji even today is an inspiration for us. But the work ends when the person ends. That's number one. Secondly, Karma Yoga does not result in total joy and fulfillment. Like Mahatma Gandhi ji, yes, he attained freedom for India. He did a lot for Harijans and all. But at the end of it, was he completely happy and fulfilled? No, because he saw the partition of India. He saw how much violence, how much killing, wholesale shifting. So the complete attainment of joy and bliss is not possible in Karma Yoga. You will get some sense of accomplishment, but that total sense of fulfillment will not be there. Martin Luther King, he did so much for upliftment of blacks, but was he able to achieve total fulfillment? No, not even now. Even today, we don't see that. So what I'm saying is that Karma Yoga will result in a joy, a feeling of joy and accomplishment, but the total fulfillment, total bliss is not accomplished in Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is considered as a preparatory to Jnana Yoga. Karma Yoga and Bhakti, service and love for God, are considered as preparatory, where the mind becomes purified. Doing unselfish work, dedicated to the Lord, giving up I and my, giving up doership, the mind becomes pure and then becomes ready for knowledge, which is enlightenment. Now, how does enlightenment compare to Karma Yoga? So let us see the path of knowledge, which we got from the Upanishads, from our rishis. Now, these Upanishads were written 5,000, 7,000, 8,000 years ago by rishis who attained enlightenment, and they passed on the knowledge to their students, who then, using that same method, attained the same degree of enlightenment. And then they passed on from student to teacher, student, teacher. It went on and on till even today, people are able to use that knowledge to progress spiritually. The Bhagavad Gita, the knowledge which was given to us 5,000 to 7,000 years ago, even today we are all studying that knowledge that Bhagavan gave, which is the essence of the Upanishads, and we can also grow spiritually. So this knowledge is eternal, and a person who is enlightened attains total peace, total bliss and fulfillment. Such a person's life is complete. Then this person does not need to go through this path of karma, which we will be talking in today's shlokas. And they may not achieve, apparently may not achieve much, but this knowledge spreads far and wide. Like Tapovan Maharaj, you know, Swami Chinmayanandaji's guru, stayed in the Himalayas. He didn't travel anywhere. He didn't build any houses. He didn't preach anywhere. He just stayed there and achieved enlightenment. But what happened? Swami Chinmayananda Gurudev came there, learned from him, attained that same degree of enlightenment, and then traveled throughout the world to spread this knowledge. And because of Pujya Gurudev, one individual, there are 300 centers throughout the world where this knowledge is being studied. So many Swamijis have studied from Gurudev, and now they are teaching. Swami Tejomayanandaji, Swami Ishwaranandaji, Vimalji, Swami Bodhatmanandaji, Swami Swarupanandaji, who is the head. So this knowledge continues, does not end with this person who taught this knowledge, because this knowledge is eternal. It is Sanatana. Not only that, but these people continue to bless the world even after they are gone. Like Raman Maharishiji, he did not travel anywhere. He stayed in that one temple, but after attaining enlightenment, thousands of people would pass by him and just in his presence attain that peace, and all their questions would be answered. Even today, when you go to Raman Maharishiji's place where he lived in Tiruvannamalai, you can feel his presence, you can feel his silence. I personally, my own personal experience, my Mataji, my mother's Guruji, who lived in a small village in Kalimpong in West Bengal, where he himself studied and taught this knowledge to my mother and many other students. And then he also set up a school for children, girls' education and orphanage. But his main focus was knowledge. And I remember I went with my mother to visit this small town. And my mother was talking to the one who is the current head, who is this Guruji student. And I happened to go and sit in Guruji's room. And he lived in a very small room where there was a bed, a chair and a drawer. That's it. There was no space, hardly any space to walk around. Very simple room. And when I sat there and closed my eyes, and Guruji had left his body 18 years previously, but when I sat there, I clearly felt that he was still in that room. His energy was still there. So what I'm saying is, these people who have achieved enlightenment continue to bless the years, the whole world for years and yugas. Mirabai, even though she has left several hundred years ago, we still sing her bhajans, we still remember her. So that is the difference between karma yoga and the path of knowledge. Karma yoga and bhakti prepare the mind, and then once having quietened the mind and attained purity, then such a student becomes ready for knowledge, approaches a teacher, and then through this regular practice of this knowledge and meditation can attain that same degree of enlightenment. That's what they say, the enlightenment that was attained by Jesus Christ or by Buddha or by Shankaracharyaji. They're all one. The experience is one. So I thought I would address this question because it is a very common question. What is the relationship between service and knowledge? So I hope I was able to address that. So far in the 8th chapter, we have talked about the imperishable Brahman. The Bhagavan Sri Krishna describes his nature as this Akshara Brahma, this imperishable Brahman, who is the support or the substratum of this whole universe. Bhagavan Sri Krishna says that his lower nature is this Prakriti and his higher nature is this Brahman or this consciousness. And he also says that this whole universe is nothing but an expression of that one consciousness as perishable and imperishable, Kshara and Akshara. And he says, the Brahman is beyond both, beyond Kshara and Akshara, it is the Supreme. And then Arjuna had asked how I can remember you at the time of death. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna says, whatever has been your focus throughout your life, you will remember that at the time of death. So if you want to remember me at the time of death, then remember me constantly throughout. By me, Bhagavan Sri Krishna means not me as Krishna, but me as the God or the consciousness. It could be Lord Shiva, it could be Father in heaven, whoever is your Ishta Devta. If you constantly remember me at the time of death, you will also remember me. So continue to do all your duties. Mam Anusmara Yudhyacha. Remembering me at all times, do all your duties. So this is what we have studied so far. And now Bhagavan today will tell us how creation happens and what is this world. Because Arjuna had asked what happens after death and how can I remember you. So today he will talk more about heaven and the world of Brahmaji, the creator. And what is this entire creation, how this world functions. So that we will be talking about today. So we'll do verse number 16, chapter 8, verse number 16. Ambika, can please chant. Abramha bhuvana lokaha.
Abramha bhuvana lokaha.
Punaravarti norjuna. Mamupetya tu Kaunteya.
Mamupetya tu Kaunteya.
Punarjanmana vidyate.
Punarjanmana vidyate.
Together, if everybody can please mute. Abramha bhuvana lokaha. Punaravartinorjuna. Mamupetya tu Kaunteya. Punarjanmana vidyate. So, Abramha bhuvana lokaha. Here, when he uses the word Brahma, he's not talking about Brahman, but he's talking about Brahmaji, the creator. So up to Brahmaji's world, Abrahma Bhuvana Lokaha, up to Brahmaji's world, all the lokas, all worlds, Punaravartino, they return. O Arjuna, they return. Up to Brahmaji's world, all lokas, and we'll talk about what are those lokas, they all return back. That means there is rebirth. But how can you go beyond this cycle of birth and death to attain enlightenment, which all these great masters have done? We have talked about Shankaracharya ji and Pujya Gurudev and Raman Maharishi and all. Mam Upetya, having attained me, Bhagavan says, O Kaunteya, O Arjuna, Punarjanma na vidyate. Punarjanma, there is no rebirth. For such an individual, the person does not experience rebirth. So this is the method of teaching of Bhagavan Sri Krishna throughout the Bhagavad Gita. He never says do this or don't do this. There are no do's and don'ts in the Bhagavad Gita. What Bhagavan does, he gives us both the options. If you do this, this will happen. If you do that, that will happen. And then he leaves the choice to us. Also at the end of the 18th chapter, Bhagavan again said that I have told you these 700 verses, now the choice is yours. So here, Sri Krishna gives us two choices. He says, those who do sakama karma, that is desire-filled activities. You know, here we are not talking about sinners. That is not the teaching in this particular verse. Here he's talking about people who are doing good deeds. So people who are spiritual, who are holy, who are good. So what happens to them if they do desire-prompted activities? They are doing good activities, they are serving the world, but with the desire that maybe I should be known or I should be recognized or people should praise me. That may be their desire. Or some people do a lot of good karmas and yajnas with the idea that I want to go to heaven. And so they want to go to heaven. And so in our scriptures, they describe various heavens. There is the above the earth is the Pitra Loka, where our ancestors go. Then there is Gandharva Loka, where all the musicians and singers go. Then there are all the different layers of heavens up to Indra Loka. And then the highest is Brahma Loka. So talking about heaven, there was this couple who had a car accident and they both died. They were elderly and they died. And so they were welcomed by Saint Peter. They had done a lot of good work. And so Saint Peter welcomes them and says, come on, you know, you are both have been very nice. And then he says, here is this 22 bedroom mansion. So you will be living in this. He says, 22 bedrooms? Yeah, it has 4 swimming pools, elevator, everything. He said, who's going to pay the rent? Saint Peter says, this is heaven. There is no rent. It's all paid by your karmas. It's free. He's happy. Then he goes to the dining room and there's this huge table filled with food, Indian, Chinese, Mexican, Italian, pizza. There's a lot of pizza. So the point is every kind of food is there. And he says, you can have all of these. He says, if I have, I'll gain weight. He says, no, this is heaven. You eat whatever you want. You never gain weight. Isn't that good place? Then he's very happy. And then he looks out the backyard and there's this beautiful golf course. And he says, this is a 36-hole golf course. You can play anytime you want. There's no day, no night. Whenever you want to play, CK, I'm sure, is happy there. He says, whenever you want to play, you go out and it's 72 degrees, sunny. Arun is smiling. I see that. So you can play anytime you want. There's no problem. No day, no night. And he gets very angry, the husband. So he looks at his wife angrily. So she said, what's wrong with you? Why are you upset? You are in heaven. You have a nice house. You have food and you like to play golf. Why are you upset? He said, if it wasn't for those healthy bran muffins you kept feeding me, I would have been here 10 years ago. That's what wives will say. Husbands, and they never learn. You can never win. So the point is that heaven is the place where we go to enjoy our good karmas. And then Bhagavan says, Kshine Punye Martya Lokam Vishanti. Once I have exhausted my good karmas, I come back all the way up to Brahmaji's loka, even Indra, everywhere. But in Brahmaji's world, which is called Brahma Loka, which is the highest, there are two classes of people. There is one class of people who, even reaching there, they still are not satisfied. I want to go back to the world and experience one more time. So Brahmaji says, okay, you can stay here, and the Brahmaji's world, you stay for 4.3 million years. It's not that long. It appears long. We'll talk about that. And then, having stayed, then this person says, I would like to have one more trip of the earth. Brahmaji says, okay, go. But then there are others who say, I am done with my birth and death. I want to learn. I want this path of knowledge. So Brahmaji says, okay, you can sit and learn. And he becomes the teacher. He himself teaches. Only problem there is he talks in Sanskrit. So if you want to learn from Brahmaji, start learning Sanskrit from now itself. But we are so blessed that we have Puja Gurudev's commentaries here in English, translated word by word, the Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the Vivek Chudamani, all the beautiful texts, Brahma Sutras. They've all been translated by Gurudev and given to us in English. We don't need to wait to go to Brahma Loka. We don't need to learn Sanskrit. So the point is that we have this blessing of getting this knowledge in this life itself. And that's why in our scriptures, they talk about two kinds of mukti. One is Krama Mukti and one is Jivan Mukti. Krama Mukti is the sequential. Krama means following a sequence. So sequential mukti. So I do a lot of good karmas, do a lot of upasana, don't really pursue the path of knowledge, but having done all these good deeds, I go to Brahma Loka. And which is good. But then there I have to stay for 4.3 million years and learn from Brahmaji. And ultimately I have to reach that state of enlightenment, which can be accomplished in this life itself. We have seen in Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda and Shankaracharya ji and Jesus and Buddha and Mirabai and Tukaram and Narsi Mehta, all these great masters attained that state of enlightenment here and now itself. So that's what Bhagwan says, that if you reach me, become one with me in this life, then you don't have to take other births. You don't have to go anywhere. That's why a realized master goes nowhere. Why? Because there is no place for him to go. He, that individual, has merged into that total consciousness. In fact, in Mirabai's, they say that when she dropped her body, when it was her last time, she went into this Krishna temple and didn't come out for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And people said, what happened to her? And they walked in there in this temple and they only found her clothes. Even her body was gone. There was nothing left for them to cremate because she had become one. So that's what they say, that you have to become one with that formless Brahman. You worship the form and then form leads you to the formless, to see the totality. And for that, you need two very important qualities, vairagya and mumukshutvam. Vairagya is detachment and mumukshutvam is an intense desire for liberation. And that has to be your goal. Now, there are how many, 25 or 30 people signed in. How many of us are listening and discussing this with the idea that I want liberation? Even while studying Bhagavad Gita, a lot of people say, well, studying Bhagavad Gita will make me, you know, do better in life, deal with problems. That is true. But the main purpose of spiritual study is that I should become one with God. So that has to be the focus of every study. And for that, you need detachment, vairagya from this world, that the world is not going to give me total happiness, total peace, and mumukshutvam, an intense desire for liberation. So that's what Bhagavan says. One who becomes one with me in this life itself can attain me and then does not need to go through this cycle of birth and death. That's why Shankaracharya ji says, Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, Punarapi Janani, Jathare Shayanam. How many lifetimes are you going to go through this birth and death and again enter a mother's womb and again go through this? So, having reached me, Bhagavan says, you do not need to go through any more births, any more deaths. So, that is the essence of this verse, that up to Brahmaji's loka, everybody comes back until you attain oneness with God.